services
tonight to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. I tell you, I come to church really early Friday morning. I did not feel good. I was feeling sick, and I was kind of in the mindset, Lord, if you don't give me something quick, I'm just going to go home, and I'll preach an old message. And so anyhow, I open my Bible up for my devotions, and because I always want to make sure I do that. My temptation is to come in here and just start preparing sermons without really just taking some time to relax at the feet of Jesus, you know, and read the Word. Usually I do that at home, but I got here real early. And when I do that, sometimes I rush into things, and that's just something I have to fight against. So anyhow, I did my devotional reading here early Friday, and I opened up to where I was at in the Old Testament, and I'm right here in 2 Chronicles 9, and I didn't read very far, and I thought, this is it, this is what we're going to do. And so the Lord, it just kind of came together, and I like it when that happens. So I'm going to look tonight at the example of a queen, the example of a queen. And we'll look at the Queen of Sheba, and hopefully a blessing to you tonight. There's a lot we can learn from her and from this account. And I think there's a lot to rejoice in and a lot to take instruction from. 2 Chronicles 9, and we'll read verses 1 through 9 to begin with. We'll skip verse 10 and 11. It just kind of caps off some things, other things Solomon did, and we'll read verse 12. 2 Chronicles 9. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company, and camels that bear spices, and gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also, and their apparel, I mean, she's seen how well he took care of his servants. She's seen how well dressed even those that attended to things, to the cupbearers, how they were even dressed, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came. And mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices great abundance and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the Queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. Skip verse 10 and 11, not relevant to the queen. But then verse 12, "And King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had brought unto the king. So she returned and went away to her own land, she and her servants." Let's pray tonight. Father, help us this evening as we seek to bear out the things you gave us this week from this passage. I pray to be a blessing and encouragement to your people. And Lord, that we would learn from this account of the Queen of Sheba. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight that as we assemble in your house, Lord, we have one that is greater than Solomon here with us tonight. Lord, help us. We have one that has a greater kingdom than the kingdom that Solomon had. And so how much more should we come unto you, into your kingdom, and into your house? Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. In Jesus' name, and amen. Jesus referred to the Queen of Sheba when he was responding to a question that the Pharisees had asked. In Matthew chapter 12, they asked him this question. They said, "Master, we would see a sign from you." And one of the things he said in response to that was this. He told them, "The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Now, what's he saying? He's telling them that they had seen more to give testimony to the greatness of Christ than the Queen of Sheba had seen to testify of Solomon's greatness. He said, "A greater than Solomon is here. You're asking for a sign." He's basically saying, "It's right in front of you. You have seen more than the Queen of Sheba seen when she went to see Solomon." They too had tested him with hard questions, just as the Queen of Sheba had. And he passed and left them speechless. He had been able to speak to their hearts because he knew what was in man. He knew their questions before they asked. He answered questions they were thinking about that they hadn't even asked. His wisdom that they heard was far greater than what Solomon had displayed to the queen. So he tells them that she will rise up in judgment against them because Jesus was greater than Solomon. Now, they had seen more signs to that greatness of Christ than she had seen. Now, what I want to do is look at the queen, learn from her experience that is here that we've read, and keep in mind, if you would, as we look at this, that we serve one that is greater than Solomon. Now, I preached a message one time, "A greater than Solomon is here." I talked about the house of God. That's not this message. But I will refer to that phrase. I just love that phrase. So we're dealing mainly with this passage. That message dealt with a lot of aspects of Solomon and not just this passage. Now, in verse 1, I don't know why I always expect you to remember all my sermons that I preached, but anyhow, I don't even remember all my sermons, so I don't expect you to. Verse 1, "When the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions." But the fame of Solomon had spread far and wide. It made me think about in the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus, Luke says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went a fame of him through all the region round about. The fame of Jesus had spread, and because the fame of Christ had spread, people were just flocking to Jesus Christ. When the queen heard of the fame of Solomon and heard these stories about how great his wisdom was, she just had to come to see it for herself because she didn't believe it, what she was hearing. And because she testifies to that later, she just says in verse 6, "Howbeit, I believe not their words." She said, "When I heard how great you were, I couldn't believe it. I had to come and see it for myself." And then she says, "I didn't hear the half of it." And so I just love that. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But the fame of Solomon had spread. And so the queen comes to check out Solomon if you would for herself. Now, one thing's very interesting to me. I didn't know this, never looked it up. You read over things. You know, Jesus said she came from the ends of the earth. She came a long ways. Well, when you look this up, from Jerusalem to where she traveled there from Sheba, does anybody have a clue how far that even is? I didn't until I looked it up. It's approximately 1,200 to 1,500 miles. I've seen some estimates that it could have been up to 1,500, but from what I can understand, it's right closer to 1,200 miles. 1,200 miles. That's a long ways in a plane. Much less right, coming with a whole bunch of people in a caravan, if you would, of camels, and all the stuff that she brought. Sheba was located somewhere in southwestern Arabia. So we see the fame of Solomon, how far it spread by that, and we see how far she was willing to come. The fame and greatness of Solomon that she had heard was so tremendous that she had to come and see him for herself. She heard it that far away. She says, "Man, I'm hearing about this king. Here I am 1,200 miles away. I got to go check this out." And it's interesting to me is I think about ourselves and I think about the lost world that we interact with. We should speak so wonderfully of our King, King Jesus. He's far greater than Solomon. We should speak so wonderfully about our Lord that people of the world should at least have the thought, hey, I got to check this Jesus thing out for myself. This guy goes on and on, this girl goes on and on about how great and wonderful King Jesus is. I don't believe him. I got to find out for myself. That's exactly what happened to her. Listen, we serve one far greater than Solomon. And so we should speak of Jesus Christ our King in such a manner where some people ought to be thinking, all right, I don't believe what they're saying, but I got to check this thing out. That's exactly what happened to her. Now, I can't help but think as well, too, about how far she was willing to travel to meet Solomon, to see his house, and to see the house of God that he had built. I look at the effort that she put in to go that far. If she would go through so much to meet Solomon one time, how much more should we be willing to always seek to meet the Lord, to meet with King Jesus, to go to the King's house? For a greater than Solomon is here. He's here every time we open the doors. A greater than Solomon is here. Also in verse 1, I love this. It says that she communed with him all that was in her heart. I mean, she bore her heart open before this king. How wonderful it is to know that we have one greater than Solomon. Not only one that we can tell all of our heart, but one that knows all of our heart. Jesus is greater than Solomon, and that he already knows all that's upon our hearts before we even mention it. He knows the questions we are going to ask before we ask them. Solomon didn't know that. He knows the questions we have yet to ask, and sometimes answers the questions before we even ask them. In verse 2, the language is a little confusing a little bit when you first read it. And Solomon told her all her questions. It doesn't mean that he told her what she was going to ask. It just means he answered her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. The New King James Version reads it like this. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. That is the meaning of this when you look it up in verse 2. You know, I love this because whether you be a first-time seeker of Jesus or whether you be a seasoned saint, you can come to Christ in prayer and to His Word and find answers to difficult questions. I mean, the Bible says some hard questions. Listen, if you're a seeker of the Lord, you don't know about this Jesus thing yet, everybody else is going on about it, and you've got some difficult questions, you can come to Jesus with those questions. He can answer the hardest questions. I love sharing with you that time that I talked to that doctor. Remember when I was going to have surgery, and he was an atheist, and he said, I've got a question. I've got a hard question. He said, I've got a hard question. Something needs to be answered. I said, what is it? He said, well, suppose a man and a woman, remember that? Suppose a man and a woman, nobody remembers this. Do y'all remember anything I preach? Suppose a man and woman is married, and the man dies, and the woman gets remarried. Thank you, Pam. Oh, yeah. And he dies. It was so funny with that doctor. I finished his question for him. I said, let's say it happened 7 times. You're wondering, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? That's my question, he said. I said, well, that's a good question. That's in the Bible. And you know, he had this hard question. You know what? There's people out there with some hard questions, and if we just give them the Word of God, they'll find some answers. You can come to God with some hard questions. I may not have the answers, but we can always point you to the King that has the answers. Sometimes I don't have the answer, but I know that the Lord does. So whether you be a new seeker, whether you be a seasoned saint, you can come to Christ in prayer, to His Word, and find answers to difficult questions. When we have hard questions, let us make sure that we go to the One that is greater than Solomon, that we seek answers from His Holy Word, that we seek His Word and what He has to say about the situation. This queen, as said, had to travel 1,200 miles at least to get to Solomon to hear from him for herself. This is a very generous guess. But if they traveled 30 miles a day, it took her 40 days to get there. That's very generous, 30 miles a day and the way she traveled. I mean, very generous there. My point is just this. She came to check him out for herself because of what she heard. If you're really curious about this man called Jesus, if you really know that what we say is true, if you really want to know if there's much more to him than even what we can express, can you at least set yourself 40 days in the Word of God to ask God some questions and to speak to your heart to find out if what we're saying is real or not? Will you at least do that for yourself? Will you spend 40 days of seeking King Jesus? She went 40 days asking her hard questions. Spend 40 days of concentrated effort of going to King Jesus with your questions. I say that to you as a seeker trying to find out about this Jesus thing, what we're saying is real. And I say it to us as well as people of God, searching for the truth, looking for answers to hard questions. You may not get it the first time you open up, or the second time. But be willing, if your question is that important, if your question is that great, be willing to spend some time with that question in the Word of God. Now next, in verses 3 through 4, she heard the wisdom of Solomon, the house they had built, the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, their apparel, his cupbearers also, their apparel, his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. When the queen seen Solomon's house, she seen how his servants attended his house, how they met, the men, speaks to the ministers, so those that worked in the house. She seen them sitting. She seen them working. She seen how well they were dressed. All the work that was going on around them. She seen this and she's amazed. You know, when people come to God's house, people should see that this house is special. They should see that. They should see King Jesus here. And they should see a people that is happy in the house of God. We'll get to that in just a moment. But they should see a people who minister. They should see a people who are willing to work in the house of the Lord. And she's seen this. I don't know. I'd love to know what kind of kingdom she had. I'd love to know where she was. I'd like to know what kind of problems she had in her kingdom, because something happened. When she's seen how well his ministers were, how well the people reacted to him that served, it was foreign to her. She learned some things. People should see our manner of service, our speech, the way we come into God's house, that it's one fitted for the king's house. A greater than Solomon is here. So let us behave in such a way that reflects that spirit. And then it says that she's seen his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. She's seen this great, powerful man of God. Now, I don't know if she made this connection till now, but somewhere along the line in this conversation, she connected his manner of life, his servants, all that he had, his house, to the fact that this great man of God went to the house of the Lord. You see, it says, look at the language here. It says that when she seen his ascent, by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Something connected in her mind, you see. And she connected this greatness of Solomon to the Lord that he served. You know, it's great when people get that. When people look at us and they say, wow, look at how they are. Look at they do this. Look at they do that. And then they are able to make that connection. Oh, it's because of his Lord. It's because of his God. And they see that it's not us. When the queen seen this man in which Solomon went to God's house, it says there was no more spirit in her, meaning she was breathless. That's what that simply means. She was just like, oh. You ever been like, oh. And didn't breathe for a little bit. Like, oh. That was her. She's like breathless. I mean, it's like her whole system forgot to breathe. I mean, she just didn't breathe. That's what happened. As she beheld him going up to the house of the Lord, And I believe she is seeing this connection to Solomon, that he wasn't just a great man. He was a man who worshiped God and loved the house of the Lord. When we treat others in a royal way too, she's seen how he treated his servants. She's seen how well they were dressed, how he cared for them. And she's seen all about them, and then she sees him going to the house of the Lord. She's connecting all this together. Solomon was the way he was because Solomon worshiped the Lord. That's where all of our greatness will come from, in our worship of our great God. When people see us, we should treat them in a royal way, as Solomon treated his servants, and they should know it's because we worship a great God, one that is greater than Solomon. Now in verse 5 and 6 as well, know this, that if you are a seeker of the Lord Jesus and wonder if all we say of Him is true, don't take our word for it. I love what she says in verse 6, "Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came." Don't take our word for it. Don't take my word for it. Open up the Word of God and find out for yourself. Come to Jesus. Come to King Jesus and find out for yourself. And you will find that we were not able to tell you even the half of the glory of being in the kingdom of King Jesus. You know, two things come to mind from verse 5 and 6 as I think about Jesus Christ. I think about the woman at the well. Remember, she who met Jesus, it says, the Word of God says, she went after she left Jesus and went and told the town about Jesus. The people of the town came to Jesus. And after they spoke with Jesus, they came because of what she said, but after they spoke with Jesus, here's what they told the woman. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, "Many more believed because of His own word. And they said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." I love that. Don't you see that from that to Jesus? She said, "I couldn't believe it for myself. I had to come here for myself." Happened right there with Christ. Listen, my friend, if you are wondering if what we say of Jesus Christ is true, get in the Word of God. You will find that He indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Don't take our word for it. Don't take my word for it. Don't take your parents' word for it. Don't take your husband's word for it, your wife's word for it. Come to the Word of God and find it true for yourself. You need to hear His word yourself, not just because someone told you what He said. Now, secondly, what I think about that in verse 5 and 6, I think about how the queen said that one half of the greatness of Solomon had not been told. I mean, she couldn't even believe what she heard. And then when she showed up, she realized she hadn't even heard the half of it. So she had heard a lot. But she says, "Now I believe, and it's greater than what I was even told me." Have we heard half of the greatness of our King Jesus? We haven't, have we? Centuries and centuries have went past, and ministers and lay people have sought their best to tell so many people about King Jesus, about His glory, about His kingdom. We've not told the half of it yet. It reminds me of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9. He says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man." My friend, you haven't even thought about the greatness of the kingdom of Christ. Knowing in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. The reference, I think, is the king, the eternal inheritance, if you look that up, as the context of it. Listen, our wildest imaginations, the thoughts of our heart, hasn't even considered how great it's going to be for those of us as God's people when we eventually inherit our eternal inheritance with the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians, Paul refers to one that was caught up into paradise. I think it was actually himself. But the Word of God says in the King James Version, it says that he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. The New King James says it like this, that he heard inexpressible words. That's what that unspeakable means. Unspeakable, inexpressible, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul is not saying that he was not allowed to tell what he saw and heard, but that he was unable to tell it in words. Inexpressible, undescribable. A greater than Solomon has an eternal inheritance with us. If she could say of King Solomon, hey, everything I heard about you, it's far greater than anything I heard. I didn't hear the half of it. What's it going to be like when we finally behold the fullness of the glory of King Jesus? We're going to say, man, we didn't hear even half of it. Look at the glory of our God. It will leave us breathless. Jaw-dropping, spectacular. Makes me excited. Verse 7. This is something else that got to her. Happy are thy men. Now, if you have other version, it says happy are thy wives. That's not a correct translation. It is men. It is masculine. Okay? Happy are thy men. And happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. See, she's seeing all of this. The joy of all those around King Solomon was something that she was amazed at and could visibly be seen. Maybe perhaps she had a kingdom where nobody around her was happy. Her servants were miserable, her ministers were miserable, and she hears all this about Solomon, and she shows up. You know what? He has happy servants. She's seen their continual service to Solomon, and yet the joy they still displayed. You know, does not the lost world wonder at Christians and their joy? They don't get it, do they? We might tell them about it, but they don't understand that. When they see that we go to the house of God all the time and we're still happy that we're going, they have to wonder. When people come into this house, there's one greater than Solomon, and people should see a people that are happy to be here, happy to be worshiping, happy to serve the Lord. The queen could know a lot about Solomon's reign, about his leadership, and his relationship with the people by looking at their joy. You see, it said a lot about King Solomon. It said a lot about his greatness when she looked at his servants and said, man, look, here they are serving all the time. Look at their demeanor. Look how they're around him. Look how they're serving. Look how they're ministering. Look how happy they are. Wow! The greatness of Solomon. She connected it. People do too. When people hear us talking about King Jesus and we look like we just sucked on a lemon, it doesn't do very much good. What's it say about our King? What's it say about our King? We should rejoice as we serve our King, as we hear the wisdom of His Word being proclaimed. Verse 8. She knew that Solomon was raised up because the Lord loved the nation of Israel. That's what she says. She says, you know, God has raised you up because the Lord loves it, the nation of Israel. You know, we have one greater than Solomon reigning over us because the Lord loves us. We have King Jesus. Why? Reigning over us because the Lord loves us as His people. He's one that's a great King, one who does all things well, one who will do righteous judgment and justice. Now, in verse 9, her response to all of this in regards to what she does when she is seeing the greatness of Solomon. In verse 9, and she gave the king. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, great abundance, precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. When the queen seen for herself all the greatness of Solomon with her own eyes, she willingly gave him the things she had brought. Now, she brought it all with her. But it wasn't until she didn't just give it to him at the very beginning. It wasn't until she seen all about Solomon that she actually gave it. This measure of gold would equal approximately 4.5 tons. Could you imagine carrying 4.5 tons of gold 1,200 miles on top of camels? That's a lot of camels, by the way. I should have looked up how much can a camel carry, but anyhow, I wasn't going to get that much into it. You get the idea. It's a lot. It's a big caravan of people and of camels, gold, spices. She gave a lot, and she gave the best. It says there that there was no such spices as Queen of Sheba. She didn't bring the stuff that she just found in the bottom of her food pantry, spices she hadn't used in a long time because she didn't like it, you know. She gave her best. She gave a lot and she gave her best. Why? Because she seen the greatness of Solomon. She knew that this indeed was a great king. And she willingly gave this. Listen, this should affect us. Listen, if we truly see King Jesus as He is, He's far greater than I can ever preach Him. I know that. But if we can truly get at least a glimpse of the greatness of our King, then we should give in abundance. And we should give willingly. And we should give our best of our money, of our time, of our talent, of our effort, of everything that we have. Why? Because He's great. The great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. You see, we need a view for the greatness of God. It will affect how we serve happy. It will affect how we give in abundance and willingly. Oftentimes, I must sadly admit, I give little because I esteem little of the Lord. When we see this greatness of Christ, then we too will be willing to give a lot and give our best. Verse 12, the last verse here. Again, I did like the clarity that the New King James Version gives this verse. It says, the King James says, "And King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked." Then notice the language says, "beside that which she had brought unto the king." When I first read that, it's kind of confusing. "Beside that which she had brought unto the king." When you look it up, the New King James does a good job in translating. It says this: "Now King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatsoever she asked, much more than she had brought to the king." That is the proper meaning of that. When it says "beside that which she brought unto the king," it's talking that she got in turn more than what she had brought. That's the meaning of this. So she got much more than she had brought to the king. She got all she desired, and she left with more than she came with. That's our Jesus, isn't it? He gives us more than we desire, and even more than we come with. Solomon would not allow the Queen of Sheba to give him more than he gave back to her. Our Jesus is greater than Solomon. You can never outgive Him. You can never outgive Him. When we give, when we worship King Jesus, when we leave here, we know He's blessed us more than we have ever blessed Him. He's that kind of king. He doesn't just sit back and just take from us, "Oh, look what all my people are giving me." You know what? He gives us so much more even back. We serve a great King. May God have His blessings on His Word. May we be inspired, if you would, to respond to our King as Solomon's servants responded to Him and as the Queen of Sheba responded to Him as well. Now, when you study the subject out, it's really interesting when I start looking into it and just starts reading commentaries or opinions about whether she actually knew the Lord. I don't know why people got in that discussion. It's not really relevant to what we're talking about too much. But, whether she did or didn't, it doesn't really matter to us at this moment, this time. But you know what? That had, whether she did later or not, could you imagine how that impacted her throughout the rest of her life? It impacted her enough, the Word of God put it in her for us. She was just around Him for a little while. I don't know how long, doesn't really say how long she was there. But you know what? When you esteem Jesus that much, it can influence people a great deal in just a little bit of time. And we need to remember that. it can really impact people's lives. Father, bless your word tonight. Help us as we sing to you in just a moment. And I pray that you'd help us to esteem you, for you are truly greater than Solomon. What a kingdom, what a king we serve tonight. Help us to esteem you and to praise you greatly, worship you greatly, give unto you greatly, give our all and give our best. Why? Because you are God and there is none else. There is none besides you. You are King of kings. Help us to serve you in that kind of attitude and esteem. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for being our King. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be happy servants, giving servants. And help us, Lord, I pray, to give our best. You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. What shall we sing, Paul? Let's all stand and we sing, please.
241 in the blue hymnal, 241.